While summer may bring thoughts of getting away from the pressures of everyday life, poets since antiquity have rhapsodized about a land of harmony and tranquility, and generations of artists have expressed it in visual terms. A new exhibition at the Philadelphia Museum of Art examines how some key figures in the development of modern art were drawn to this tradition. Now WRTI's Susan Lewis takes us to Visions of Arcadia.
Cézanne, Matisse, Gauguin. Billboard-sized masterpieces speak to one another, in artistic terms, in an expansive central gallery. Painted from 1909 to 1917, Matisse's Bathers by a River,
which was his most ambitious and, he said point blank, his most radical picture.
Exhibition curator Joe Rischel, the museum's senior curator of European painting before 1900, always wanted to pair this Matisse, which depicts four faceless figures and a snake slithering up from the bottom of the picture, with the museum's own Cézanne masterpiece, The Large Bathers, which shows a group of about a dozen nudes lakeside and was finished in 1906.
Which is, if not his most ambitious, certainly his largest picture and his last picture on his easel when he died, certainly.
Joining these two is Gauguin's work, painted in Tahiti in 1897 and 98, provocatively titled, Where Do We Come From? What Are We? Where Are We Going? A colorful montage of scantily clothed figures among small animals, a baby, and a statue of a god, set against a scenic backdrop of vines, lake, and mountain.
Gauguin, of course, famous for his desire for the exotic, the primitive, what have you. This is the most ambitious, biggest thing he ever does. He wants to knock him dead. He wants to be the Tolstoy of the arts.
Three monumental works. Cézanne's more than 8 feet across. Gauguin's over 12 feet wide. Matisse's over 13 feet tall. All by artists known for challenging conventions. Museum director Timothy Rubb says the artists were not turning their backs on tradition, but aiming to prove themselves equally masterful.
The remarkable thing is that these artists who were determined to change everything were also determined in some ways to measure themselves against the greatest accomplishments of the past.
Rubb says depicting these nudes, or in Gauguin's case, semi-clothed figures, in the landscape was an age-old theme in French painting that went back to 17th century painter Nicolas Poussin.
And through Poussin to Virgil and Virgil's eclogues and the whole idea of Arcadia, this land of eternal sunshine and where people lived in harmony with nature, an idea of a golden age.
Although Arcadia was, in fact, a part of Greece, it became a universal idea for generations of artists, says Emily Schreiner, the museum's manager of family and children's programs.
The poet Virgil was talking about that place and then also using it metaphorically to describe this idea of a utopian place, but where real life sort of stands at the door. It's not a place where you escape your troubles entirely. And that's why throughout the exhibition you'll see these just gorgeous, gorgeous scenes, but tinged with this little bit of sadness. For example, at the far left edge of the large Gauguin masterpiece, you see this woman who's nearing death. So although Gauguin has gone all the way to Tahiti to escape his troubles in Paris, there still is real life knocking at the door.
Over the years, the idea of Arcadia, says Joe Rischel, was also useful politically.
This goes back to Poussin and how France in particular wants to see itself in the most public way. It's everything every political state, every individual, every religion is trying to establish, is a sense of security, pleasure, harmony, longevity.
The exhibition's centerpiece, the Central Gallery, sets up a perfect storm of striking images that depict Arcadia in different yet evolving ways. Poussin's 1627 work, Bacchanal with a Woman Playing the Guitar, is opposite Cézanne's Large Bathers. A nude reclines on a sofa in the middle of a rainforest alongside wild animals and tropical birds in Henri Rousseau's The Dream. André Durand's brightly hued bathers and Picasso's more monochronistic nude adolescence surround Matisse's Bathers by a River. Early galleries in the exhibition look back at what Cézanne and his contemporaries would have experienced, the verses of Virgil and Stéphane Mallarmé, a 19th century poet who carried on Virgil's idea of Arcadia.
Probably his most famous poem is Afternoon of a Faun, which Debussy sets to music.
Nineteenth-century landscapes of Jean-Baptiste Camille Corot and Pierre Puvis de Chavannes are populated with human figures, clothed and unclothed, drinking wine, playing with babies and puppies, and listening to music. Other late 19th and early 20th century artists are seen searching for their own versions of Arcadia, with figures placed along the coasts of France, the mountains of Spain, the woodlands of Germany, countryside scenes of Russia, and even city canyons, as in Robert Delaunay's gigantic cubist work, The City of Paris. Each artist, no matter how radical, working in his own style, his own medium, in his own time, interpreting Arcadia.
It's a thing of everybody's invention. It's Brigadoon, it's Shangri-La, it is Nirvana.
Cross, Matisse, Seurat, they went to Saint-Tropez. Paul Delaunay found it in Paris. For me, I go to New Hampshire in the summer.
To see that this very idea has been important to humankind and been the basis of great poetry, great art, is a very important thing.
Wars, political strife, and human struggle all continue today, while computers, phones, and mobile devices simultaneously connect us to and pull us away from our surroundings. But no matter how technologically advanced the world can seem, there's a time and a place when we ordinary humans are like the great poets and artists of the past, yearning for a simpler, more harmonious existence, our own Arcadia, which might be right outside our door.
WRTI's Susan Lewis. Gauguin, Cézanne, and Matisse, Visions of Arcadia, is at the Philadelphia Museum of Art through September 3rd.